This is Chief Conti of the Metropolitan Police Department, and I'm asking for your help. We all must avoid using our cell phones while driving, as lives are increasingly at risk with this behavior. So much can happen when you are distracted by a phone, and the results could be deadly. Help us make Vision Zero a reality by keeping your eyes on the street. MPD is enforcing the district's hands-free distracted driving laws. One text or call can wreck it all.
Improper disposal of batteries can spark fires. Fires on garbage trucks and at trash and recycling centers cost millions and put lives in danger. Batteries do not belong in regular trash or recycling. Learn more at gorecycle.org. Brought to you by Montgomery County.
Hello, Cleveland. This is the Dogland Podcast. This is a post-game episode for the Browns-Chargers game, and unfortunately, we did not get a win. We are not starting 4-1. We're starting 3-2. The Browns blew this one in the end, lost 47-42. I am Jackson McCurry, and joining me tonight on the post-game episode is none other than Dogland contributor Caitlin Marshall. Caitlin, I'd ask you how you are, but I feel like I know how you are right now, but how are you?
I'm very angry right now. I'm fuming.
I feel like that is how all, if not the majority of Browns fans are feeling right now about this one. God, I don't know where to start, but then again, I did make notes. So I think we're going to start with, and I think you agree with this, Kay. This was the turning point of the game. There's about 9 minutes left in the game. Chargers have the ball. Justin Herbert throws one deep for Mike Williams. Blatant pass interference on him. They call it on Grant Delpit, and Delpit was about 5 yards over to the left side. It was AJ Green who was in for Denzel Ward defending Williams, and you know they were both tugging at each other, but you watch it in slow motion, Kay, and we've seen it numerous times since the game. Mike Williams is in front of AJ Green with a fistful of his jersey, and the refs call pass interference, and it is a major turning point in this game. It ends up being a 33-yard penalty, puts the Chargers in great position, and they ultimately score on an Austin Ekeler touchdown. But I feel like at this point, this was the turning point of the game because the Browns are up a touchdown at that point, and you felt like they had it, even though the defense was struggling, which we'll definitely get to as well. But you know, the odds quickly shifted to the Chargers, I think, after this point in the game.
Yeah, I mean, all I can do is laugh right now because I'm just so angry about that play and just the series of events that happened. The Browns are winning at that point. I believe they're up a touchdown.
Yes.
And it's 4th and 4. I believe the Chargers had it at their own, like, 40-ish yard line. Like, if they don't convert, the Browns 10 yards, they're in field goal range, number one. And if they, you know, have a field goal or whatever, it's a 2-possession game with less than 8 minutes to go.
Yes.
The fact that that was called, I'm honestly just like beside myself, like when that happened. Like you said, he has a fistful of jersey of AJ Green. And I think Trent Green even said it on the broadcast was, you know, if he wasn't holding him, he would actually like maybe even made the catch.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't understand with these refs, man, like just, it's the constant like inconsistencies and it's throughout all of sports, but it like, you pride yourself on being, you know, like the NFL, like the gold standard, right? Yeah, you have these blatant errors week after week that drastically change momentum, drastically change like everything about these games. And I'm just so angry. Like, and the worst part was the guy who threw the flag, he's looking at the play. He's in front of like what's at like it, of the play. Like he's not the guy, the referee behind him where he doesn't see like the jersey pull. He's in front of him. He sees the jersey. It's a good play. Like they're both pulling at each other. Like that's an easy no call. And I'm just beside myself when it comes to that play, because then, you know, it's a turnover on downs. The Browns have the ball at like what, the 40, you know, 51, whatever.
Yeah.
41. Oh my God. You're telling me, cause like, what was it? The next drive is when Chubb had his, what, the crazy, like, you know, long run. And it's just like, my God, dude, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Week after week, it's the same goddamn thing with these refs.
Yeah. And it's like, for the people that are like, man, they're against Cleveland. I mean, yeah, we feel like as Browns fans that the refs are against us, but it happens all across the league. We only see it because it's happening to the Browns, but it happens all across the league. It's not that the refs have it against the Browns. Like, I know that's been the theory for since 99, since the team came back. Anytime there's a blatant call against us, they just think, oh, the league's against us or the refs are against us. I don't think that's it. It's just inconsistency, like you say, across the board. It's not just in football. It's in every sport. Like, the umpires in baseball make bad error or bad calls. The NBA refs do it. The NFL refs do it. It's just, it drastically affects the outcomes of games, and not only affects the teams and not only affects the way the fans feel, but even the gamblers that are betting on these games that have no ties to either fan base or to either team. It's affecting them because money's on the line. So like, these refs need to get better with these calls. And that's like, that was the dramatic point in the game. And obviously, you know, San Diego or Los Angeles ties it. We take the lead. Then they come back and tie the game up themselves. Well, they tried to tie it. And then we get down to the end of the game. Okay. The Browns have the ball twice offensively. And I think it was like the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, 3 minutes of the game. And this is where I think another big thing, Kevin Stefanski late in the game, again, bad offensive drives. The first one, we get the ball back with 3:08 to go. The first drive, Hunt runs 1 yard gain. The second play, second down and 9, Mayfield steps back, incomplete pass to Higgins. Then on 3rd and 9 with 2:55 to go, they run it. And now Kevin Stefanski has said post game, because we're in the middle of recording while post game interviews are going on, he says that he ran the ball because there was backup tackles, we're back up in the Chargers' own, we're back up on our own 15-yard line. He didn't want something bad to happen in that situation. Well, first of all, I don't think you can coach in fear. I know regardless if we have two backup tackles, you don't run that. You don't run a play like that. You're trying to potentially put the game away because the Browns are up by one because the Chargers kicker missed an extra point. You try to put the game away. You feel if it makes you look like you're in fear while you're a head coach. And it also makes it look like you don't trust your quarterback in that situation, who was having a pretty good game today, I would say. Take your thoughts on the first drive before we go to the final drive.
Yeah. So it's playing not to win, you know,
conservative. You're playing conservative.
It's playing not to lose.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is you got to think, okay, they make that extra point. You know, it's a tie game. Well, you're not going to run. You're not going to have those types of play calling and give the ball back to the Chargers if it's a tie game. Why would you do it when it's a 1-point game, when you haven't stopped them the entire second half? I don't understand that play calling. And if you're going to run it on first down, why isn't Nick Chubb in? Like,
exactly.
He was just like, he broke the 52-yard run.
He averaged 7.7 yards a carry today. And, you know,
why is Nick Chubb in?
And this isn't a slight at Kareem Hunt, because he averaged 5 yards a carry, but Nick Chubb's been Mr. Fourth Quarter for like the last 2 years, especially going back to the beginning of last season. He's averaging like 7 yards a carry in the fourth quarter this year. Yeah, it's down a little bit from his 10, but I mean, I know, and people are saying that Nick Chubb's lost a step. No, they're just utilizing both backs. But, you know, fourth quarter, I've called him the closer. I've called him our Mariano Rivera. Why isn't Nick Chubb in the game? Like, that just baffles me that he was out. And, like, I think he could have put this game away had just he been
like,
in.
Just like if you're inside the five, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's totally fine. But why isn't your best player out there? And it's probably because – you know, what the amount of times they run the ball versus pass the ball when Nick Chubb's in, it's probably heavily favors running, but that was your game plan the entire game to begin with. Like, which is fine. It worked. But when you know that you're running, run with Nick Chubb. Like, hello, I just don't understand that. And and then the second play where, you know, Higgins gets tangled up with a defender. I mean, that's where I just get annoyed, because it's just like, okay, if you're calling every little thing that impedes allegedly impedes a wide receiver, okay, where's the holding on that, right? And then on third down, like third and 10, you can't just run the ball. No, you can't, just unless you're going to go for it on fourth down.
Right.
Because at that point, you know, you're banking on them probably going to score anyway. So why not just go for it? If you're going to run, go for it on fourth down. Go for it on what, fourth and six, fourth and seven? Like, I don't understand. I mean, Brandon Staley did that the entire game. They were 4 for 4 on fourth down. You could not stop them on fourth down. Obviously, like, the one, you know, penalty, you know, withstanding, right? But you couldn't stop them on fourth down. Like, be aggressive. Win the game.
Yeah, you're aggressive the whole game. You go for it on fourth down constantly inside the 30, which you said that back going back to training camp, but people seem to forget it and then complain when we don't settle for three. And then you're not more aggressive in a close game and trying to put the game away. You get more conservative. Like, I don't understand the approach. And obviously, Coach Stefanski said in the post game, you know, he made mistakes and he owns it and he's going to get better. Well, hopefully he gets better. And hopefully, if you're going to be aggressive for 80% of the game, be aggressive 100% of the game.
When it really counts, the money time, continue that mindset. Hello?
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand it. Like, if you're planning on going for it on fourth down, or just think, we got to get a first down. Okay. By any means necessary. You haven't stopped them. So on first down, okay, you run. Maybe second down, maybe you run again. Maybe you have to have a screen pass or something like that. Like, I don't understand. And then, like I said, on third down, when you're going to run and then you just punt the ball away, and oh, Jamie Gilliam, oh my God, dude, he is, oh my goodness.
They need a new punter.
Yeah. I don't know if they're just like, hey, hang time, but it's bad. You're losing the field position game week after week now. And it's very concerning. I'm, you know, maybe in hindsight, this is a good thing, right? It's a true, like, self-reflection of, like, you know, we were riding high after a 3-game winning streak. And now it's just like, no, Kevin Stefanski isn't this unflappable, perfect head coach, right? Like, he does have some flaws and that he needs to, like, get better with. Same thing with the defense. Like, we had two straight games of, like, a dominant defense. And I understand we had a ton of injuries. I completely understand that. But the miscommunication is the same type of miscommunication that we had all of last year. That's on the coach. I'm sorry. That's on your defensive coordinator. Like,
absolutely.
I'm fucking tired of this. I'm so tired of it. You had Mike Williams running wide open twice on the same play. They did it twice. And they got the same result. What are you doing? I just don't understand it.
No, I don't either. But let's go back to the final drive before we get into the other start of the game. So the Chargers score, which they tried not to, but I mean,
that was the smartest play of the game.
It was the smartest
pushing
play
them
of the
into
game.
The end zone
because
you knew you couldn't get a stop.
Right, because Eckler, I think, was going to try to, like, hunch down and, like, I think it was John Johnson. They just pushed him in the end zone. They said, no, we want the ball back. We trust our quarterback in the offense. We're making you guys score. So it's 47-42. They missed the extra point, and it was a great call by the officials by going up and correcting it quickly. So the Browns get the ball back. First of all, clock management needs to be so much better in this situation because they did little dump off passes. Which, I mean, if this is what was open, you have to take what you can get, but they run three plays, only get 11 yards and killed 50 seconds of clock in the process. That's poor clock management by not only Stefanski, but Baker as well. Granted, they didn't have any timeouts left. You know, Baker then gets Njoku 10 yards. They're at the Cleveland 46, 26 seconds to go. And then you see a deep pass to Peoples-Jones. Was in double coverage, but I mean, Baker obviously trusts Peoples-Jones in that situation, just was slightly overthrown. The second play, which Baker has now said it was intended for Higgins. He says there was two pass interference calls that the referees missed. And he even says it, we'd like the same calls as the Chargers got. I think that's completely fair. I saw pass interference as well. Mm-hmm. And then the last play, you know, Baker drops back. Then he steps up and throws a Hail Mary. Pass interference right there on Njoku. And then
he tackled him.
Yeah.
He tackled him at the 2 yard line.
Right. Took his knees out. And then, you know, if Higgins
turns around and looks up.
Well, if he turns around, looks up, or he jumps over Njoku.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of the wind in the trees as your RV sits parked in the forest. Is that the call of the majestic owl? And there's the sound of a tree branch crashing into the roof of your RV. Oof, I guess their nest was in that branch. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Who knows? There could have been a touchdown there. Yep. But just, I mean, I don't know if I blame play calling on that. I just think clock management could have been so much better on that final drive, because they wasted so much time on the clock. And who knows, we could have maybe gotten even closer to where we didn't have to throw a Hail Mary. But just, I don't even blame play calling on that one, Kay. I blame more clock management, because they had a minute and a half. And if they could have been a little bit better in the clock management, there would have been more time, I think. And maybe the Browns even get closer, and then who knows what happens at that point.
Well, I think what screwed them, I think it was on that third play, instead of getting a first down, it was third and inches. So I think
they got
the pressure get that first down. But it's still, it's just the fact of the matter, like, yeah, they need to be more aggressive. And you just have to trade, like, you know, like maybe just throw the ball. I don't know. Like just throw the ball away, you know, instead of taking a 5 yard play that eats up 25 seconds. Like, I don't know. It's tough to criticize like the ins and outs, because we don't know like who and what was open. But it just the sense of urgency, I think, is that's what really killed the Browns. Because man, I was feeling kind of good. Like, okay, you get the ball back, you got 90 seconds. Like, let's go, let's win this game. And just a sense of urgency. That's what irks me. That they're so good. Like, 2 minute drill at halftime. Like, how many times have they scored throughout Stefanski's tenure? Like all the time they score. And I don't know. It's annoying. And, you know, you never know, like, what, again, the ins and outs and the coverages were and who was open. But, yeah, just, God damn it. Damn it.
For sure. You know, before we get to the defensive struggles, we got to talk about Baker, because he was the main topic of conversation all last week after a poor performance against the Vikings. You know, you had the national media dissecting, you know, the shoulder injury, how could it affect his throwing. There was the talk about, is Odell and Baker just never going to work? I mean, the fact that Jake Burns got to make a guest spot on Dan Le Batard to talk about that was amazing. First of all, shout out to Jake for that. That was awesome. But, you know, so many topics of conversation regarding Baker Mayfield. And, you know, it was a big game. And sometimes he's hot and cold in these big games, nationally televised games. And, you know, today he bounced back with a strong performance. I think Baker, it was one of his better games. You know, hopefully this starts a trend where he just keeps having good game after good game. But 23 of 32 for 306 yards, 2 touchdown passes, no turnovers, only took 1 sack, and his QBR was 122.5. Just a great game. I thought he was accurate. He spread the ball around. You know, he was able to get it to everybody today. It wasn't just like, oh, I need to focus on Odell. Like, if the guy was open, he was getting them the ball. It was great to see Baker bounce back, because, you know, he took the criticism hard. He said he was going to play better. You know, he put his little social media post out talking about like how much adversity he's overcome, and he backed it up with a strong performance. And it was great to see after such a piss poor performance, which, you know, he even said that himself last week against Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, he played awesome. I mean, that's the Baker Mayfield that, you know, we want and, you know, we expect game in and game out, game in and game out. So, I mean, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. I mean, you score 42 points and you lose. That's really all I got to say. It's just a deep sigh.
I mean, just to put it into perspective, because Jake Trotter tweeted it out, the Browns, unfortunately, became the first team in NFL history today. First team in NFL history, including the playoffs, to lose when scoring 40 plus points with 500 yards of offense, plus yards of offense, and zero turnovers. Which goes to the next topic, Kay. It was not the offense that lost today, because the Browns had a 2-touchdown lead at one point. The defense, which had injuries today, we will discuss that. They had a lot of injuries today. They also had a lot of miscommunication and poor performance today, because they gave up over 500 yards themselves. But credit where credit's due. The Chargers offense is really freaking good. Okay. 493 yards of offense they gave up to the Chargers, which the Chargers are really good. Justin Herbert is becoming one of the top quarterbacks in the league. But the defense, which was lights out the last 2 weeks against Chicago and Minnesota combined, shit the bed today. And, you know, we talked about it. You mentioned the miscommunications going back to last year. The safeties, I don't know what's going on there. It goes on the coaching. It goes on the players as well, because Ronnie Harrison and John Johnson did not play well today. This defense has so much talent. And they showed their potential the last 2 weeks, and then they go right back to giving up big plays and just looking like deers in the headlights at some points in the game. And it's frustrating, because you see the talent on the field and you expect so much better.
Yeah, I mean, you paid all this money for, you know, John Johnson. You know, went out and got Ronnie Harrison. And, I mean, these are veteran guys, right? Like, these aren't rookies. You know, these are guys who've been around the block. Ronnie Harrison knows this defense. John Johnson, I mean, if you know, the talk was, hey, he should be the signal caller. Well, then, you know, I'd expect him to maybe know the plays. And, you know, I just don't understand this defense, man. You go out last week and you do your thing against a top five offense in Minnesota, right?
Right.
And then you like it, that first half, it was, they only gave up 13 points, right? Like, and then the second half, you just completely just, you're awful. You can't get off the field. The Chargers had what, I think it was like a 4th-and-3 they converted, and then like a 4th-and-8. You can't have that. This is the same problems that we had last year. And I don't care. I'm tired of the excuses of like, well, we had certain players playing, you know, Denzel Ward was out and all that stuff. I don't care anymore. Like, it's like Troy Hill, he shouldn't, like, that one, like, I think the 4th-and-8 to Keenan Allen was against Troy Hill. I'm just flabbergasted that they just continue to allow 4th-down conversions and 3rd-and-long conversions. And it's the, like, it's 3rd-and-long, it's 3rd-and-8. And then they get 6 or 7 to then set up 4th-and-1. And of course they're going to go for it. Like, of course the Chargers went for it 4th-and-2, right after halftime. Like, I believe it was their first possession, because the Browns score, or I can't remember like the actual, like what actually happened, but Eckler, it's like 4th-and-2, and Eckler like has like a 5-yard rush, and it's just like, they're like, oh, he's going for it. It's like, of course, like you're down 2 touchdowns, right, against a team you're not stopping. So why doesn't Kevin Stefanski, again, they're both of this, you know, analytical mind, you know, why are they kind of so different when it comes to like certain things like that? You know, why does Brandon Staley, why is he going out there playing to win and Kevin Stefanski is going out there playing to lose? I don't really understand it. And like I said, the defense, I'm fucking tired of Joe Woods. I don't care. It's too much. This is what, 22 games with Joe Woods as defensive coordinator. Like, are you impressed, Jack? Are you impressed by Joe Woods?
I will say the last couple of weeks, you know, made me turn around on him. I thought he was pressuring more. Not to say that they weren't pressuring today, because they did hit Herbert 8 times, but it didn't seem, and this was even with 4-man fronts, they were still getting pressure. They were still getting after him. Granted, Herbert's more mobile than Kirk Cousins, but it was just like, they couldn't haul it in. Like, there was a time Miles slipped and he could have had a sack. He did have a sack today, but I think he could have had a couple. But they just, I don't know what they were doing among the linebackers, because when Herbert was able to run, he just got open space and he was able, and even like the little outs to Eckler or to, I think it's Justin Jackson was the other running back.
Yeah.
But it's just like, where were the linebackers?
Or the killer of, you know, you punt the ball back to him, the first play, RPO to Jared Cook for 30-something yards.
Like, where was the linebackers on that play? Like,
what are we doing?
Yeah, like Malcolm Smith, I did not see him at all today. It was like Walker came back and it was like, okay, Malcolm Smith, we're not going to play you. Like, I like Taki Taki, but in the situations where you have a good quarterback like Justin Herbert, I would rather see Malcolm Smith in those instances and JOK and Walker, because they are better in coverage. Hell, even though he can't tackle worth a shit, put Mac Wilson out there, because that's his strongest attribute, is his coverage skills. Like, I like Sione Takitaki. He's a better run defender than he is a coverage guy. In passing situations, I don't want to see him out on the field. No. Like, I know there was injuries in the secondary, but you had these linebackers that are solid in coverage, utilize them more. Like,
the only thing I don't really understand is, I believe the Browns got killed twice on screens to Eckler.
Yeah.
The one was early on in the first half, maybe it was like even the first quarter, where it was like Mac Wilson pushed him in or something. I don't know. I was like, I was paying attention, and then like the Dogland group chat just started like roasting Mac Wilson or something. I kind of missed it. I didn't really know what happened, but
we're not allowed to mention him by name anymore.
Oh yeah, 51. Sorry. Yeah. For a year now, I called him, what did I call it? I called him a plain toaster strudel. Like, there's no value in it. Like, he's the guy, he's the last toaster strudel, but you don't have that icing. Because you used one earlier, like you used like 2-on-1, and now you gotta like, you know, pay the piper, so to speak. Like I said that my first episode of my podcast, I said that he was trash. I would look, everybody wants to take credit about hating Mac Wilson. I was number one. I called him the most overrated fifth round pick in Browns history. And, you know, I got hate for that. And now look, right? So anyway, enough of 51. But you're only pressuring 4 guys throughout the entire game. Rarely does Joe Woods, it seems like, ever blitz, right? I mean, yet you have, okay, math, what? 7 guys in coverage on screenplays, and you let that happen twice?
Yeah.
So it's not just 2 screenplays. So, okay, so it is 2 screenplays and 2 fucking deep bombs to Mike Williams, same play, wide open. Hello, like, what are we doing? What is he doing? I'm very confused. I don't understand it at all.
Right. I mean, they got torched today. I mean, there is no excuse making for this defensive performance, but at the same time, there was injuries. There was plenty of injuries. We come into the game. No Jedrick Wills. He gets ruled out yesterday. Clowney gets ruled out before the game. We already knew Greg Newsom wasn't playing. And Jarvis Landry wasn't going to play, which that's offensive injury, but still. And then during the game, Denzel Ward, neck injury. He left the game early. Greedy Williams gets hurt. And I'm pretty sure it's the same shoulder.
Same shoulder, yep.
That had the nerve damage. So, and maybe it was just a moment of like, Greedy was concerned that it was, you know, something.
But that
happened.
Was late in the game too.
And that was late in the game too. But I mean, yeah. And then you lose Jack Conklin. So you're in a situation where Blake Hance is already going at left tackle and you have to put James Hudson in. And then Malik McDowell, who had a pretty good game, he gets hurt as well. So the injuries just piled up. And, you know, it's not excuse making, but when you're missing 1, 2, 3, 4 defensive starters, you're missing both of your tackles. I mean, stuff piled up, and I think the defense was also pretty winded because you know, they gave up 34 points in the second half. I mean, you don't want to make excuses because it was such a poor performance, but the fact that guys just kept going down like almost every drive, I mean, it added up, and I think it really caught up with the defense, especially in that second half.
But you know what sucks too, though? The time of possession, the Browns had the ball for 13
exactly. That's the other thing that gets me, though, is because it seemed like the Chargers had the ball plenty in that second half, obviously scoring 34 points. But yes, the Browns won the time of possession by over 13 minutes. So it's like you want to try to make some excuses for the defense, but at the same time, we won the time of possession. We had more yards. And I mean, just, I don't know how to explain how we lost this game, but we lost this game. And it goes back to the defense, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you can look at, you know, the defense of red zone, Browns 3 of 6.
Gotta be better than that.
Chargers 4 of 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it right there. And that's, it comes down to, you know, like I said, defense. I mean, it's, your offense is fine. When you score 42 points, you should win that game. When you play perfect football, when you don't turn the ball over, you should win that game.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. Presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I'm just kind of dumb. When you have 500 fucking yards of offense, you should win that game.
Yep. But also at the same time, combined third and fourth down efficiencies for both teams. Browns,
yeah.
5 of 15. Chargers 9 of 16. The Chargers were better today.
Yep.
Especially on the money downs. Yeah.
Yep.
Three and three. Browns were 1 of 3. I mean, it's just.
And see, that's where I get so angry about Joe Woods, because it's the same thing that happened last year. Last year's teams were like, I'm trying to remember this correctly, but it was like 27 of like 33 against the Browns on fourth down. I think I saw a stat that teams were perfect on fourth down in the fourth quarter against the Browns last year.
Yikes.
I don't care who's on the defense. Like, we've seen shitty Browns defenses get random stops throughout our fandom. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now you have good players. You have, you know, a Miles Garrett. And obviously, he's getting held every fucking play and chipped every play. I mean, yeah. You're watching that. I mean, there was the 33-yard pass to Keenan Allen to the sideline, and I mean, they're literally showing Justin Herbert roll out to the right, and it's Slater just like tackling Miles Garrett, and you're just like, oh no, we're not gonna call that. Oh yeah. we're gonna call holding on JC Treader when, you know, he literally has a hand to his throat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, I don't understand it. I don't understand these refs. I don't understand the defensive play calling. I don't understand why Kevin Stefanski is aggressive for, was it 58 minutes of the game? And then the last 2 minutes, oh my God.
Oh, that's frustrating.
You just go into a shell. You go into a shell.
I always wonder, like, with the defensive play calling, because Joe Woods was a position coach in San Fran. I just wonder if, and I don't know if this would really help, but I wonder if him seeing it from up in the press box would be a better thing for him. I'm not trying to make excuses for him or trying to come up with some, but they did this with Ohio State with Kerry Combs, and the defense has taken off the last few weeks since the Oregon game.
He's not calling the plays though.
Oh, he's not calling the plays anymore. That's true.
I don't think so.
But I just wonder, would being in the box help? 'Cause you're able to see things better. you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for Joe Woods. I want him to be the defensive coordinator here because I want it to work out. But, like, I just wonder if they change something up, if that would help. But then again, it's just one game. They could come back next week against Arizona and just dominate again. Do I see that? Not really, because Arizona's got a pretty damn good offense, although they did get shut down today. I don't know. I'm just thinking if something changed on that side of the ball, would things get better? I don't know. It was just a piss poor.
I don't think Joe Woods, because he was the defensive coordinator in Denver with
Oh, that's right. That's
Joseph,
right.
He wasn't. When he was head coach. And obviously, Joseph was like a defensive-minded guy. So I don't know specifically who was calling the plays, but
right.
I mean, he was, I'm 90% sure, like I saw a video of like Joe Woods on the field when he was defensive coordinator for Denver.
And as far as I know, like all the defensive coordinators are on, they're on the sideline. They're like, as far as I know, usually, like none of, yeah. So we talked about Chubb and Hunt, and there's always this argument on Twitter, and one of our buddies, LaShawn, likes to try to stir it up from now and then. Who's better? Like, who's better? Is Chubb better? Is Hunt better? Like, can we just appreciate that we have two elite freaking running backs, and they are just both dominating the opposing defenses, regardless of who gets the ball more, regardless of who's scoring more touchdowns? Like, combined today, they had, let me bring this up real quick, make sure I do the math, 33 carries, 222 yards, and 3 freaking touchdowns. They both scored over 20 fantasy points. So it's like, why can't we just appreciate both and just accept that Chubb and Hunt is a great duo? Neither one of them is looking for the recognition. They both want to win, but yet people want to try to start these silly little stupid debates that mean nothing in the long run and just appreciate the greatness that we have in both of them.
Yeah. And I think really the only thing, again, you could criticize with, you know, their usage is just where they use certain players. Like
we exactly. talked
about, you know, within the, you know, 5-yard line, Kareem Hunt all day. Like, just it's weird because Nick Chubb.
He's the more power back. So you would think in the goal. Back,
yeah. But he's also like, he's like, just the way he runs, he's more elusive, where he needs like that momentum to like break tackles and, you know, like that, you know, more area, more space. It seems like when Kareem Hunt is literally just a bowling ball when he gets the ball, which is why I just didn't understand. Okay, you're going to run that first play. That's totally fine. I'd, you know, force the Chargers to use at least one timeout. I'm 1000% okay with that. It's just, why isn't Nick Chubb getting that carry right there? I don't understand. And at that point, like, I don't know, maybe throw a screen then, or, you know, maybe spread everybody out and then run a draw or run, you know, an inside handoff to Kareem Hunt with, you know, the defense more, you know, spaced out. I didn't understand that. But they're both awesome. Like, it's insane that we have both these guys and they keep each other fresh. And that's why it's frustrating when, you know, talking about this game, it's just like, we had that game, you know, every, like, you go down the checklist of like, how do you win a game? And what's the perfect Browns victory for this team? Baker plays mistake-free football. He did that. He throws for 300 yards. He did that. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, over 200 yards. Yes. Multiple touchdowns by them. Yes. You did everything you wanted offensively, except like the last 2 minutes where you just fucked up. I don't understand it.
Right. Just on a side note, as we're recording, media is reporting that JOK had to be taken to a local hospital in Los Angeles with a throat contusion. So prayers up to JOK, and hopefully he's okay, because he has been a star on this defense so far for the first few
I've
weeks.
Never heard that until what, just now?
Today, Burrow and JOK both.
What?
Yeah, it's just crazy. Insane. But yeah, hopefully they're both okay, because, you know, Joe Burrow is, he's becoming a superstar in the making too for Cincinnati. They would only freaking invest in an offensive line for that kid. But hopefully he's okay, and hopefully JOK is okay as well.
I have a question. I have one
go ahead.
Question.
Yep.
I hate to bring it up.
Go ahead.
Odell.
Okay.
2 catches.
Let's talk about
3 targets.
This is my only gripe with him today, though, because I thought that they okay. We're going to have an honest conversation actually here.
All right, let's do it.
When he was on the field, besides the Higgins touchdown, that was the drop pissed me off to no degree because it hit him in the chest. And Odell's supposed to be one of the greatest receivers of this generation. You don't let a ball like that hit you square in the chest and you drop it. If he touches it,
he turns upfield and it's a touchdown.
Yes, or very close to it. They use him well as a decoy today. But I don't know. Like, I only noticed it a few times, but when he wasn't on the field, the Browns offense was moving quite smoothly today.
Yep.
They spread it out to everybody. Higgins got the ball. 3 catches, 29 yards, and a touchdown. Peoples-Jones had a stellar game. 5 catches, 70 yards. And our next guy I'm going to get to. But before we focus on him, let's talk about OBJ. I don't know if him and Baker are just trying to make it work so hard and it's not going to work. But I get the feeling and the numbers back it up, and I don't want this to be the case. But it just seems like when he's not on the field. Now, I don't know how many snaps he played today. We'll find that out tomorrow or Monday morning. I don't know if it's Baker feels like he has to get him the ball when he's out on the field, but it seemed like he wasn't on the field a lot today and the Browns offense moved smoother. Like, I don't want that to be the case, but kind of would seem like it felt that way watching the game a lot today.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like the whole fact of, hey, you ran the ball 33 times with Chubb and Hunt. So, you know, there's only so much like decoy. You don't want Odell 3 games after an ACL injury blocking to the extent, you know, like he would if he was fully healthy, right? And if you need a like a decoy, like maybe Schwartz is that guy, maybe, you know, DPJ is that guy, but I don't understand it. It's a weird thing. You didn't even target him like those last 2 possessions.
Right.
You would think you would try to go after your guy, maybe just force one, you know what I mean? Like if he forces it, we go, it just continues the narrative of like Baker's forcing it. Right. But then at the same time, you could just go, he's trying to look for his best receiver. Like, you can't blame him for that. Like, you're down 5, you know, with 90 seconds. It's weird. I don't understand it either, which is why I was asking you.
Yeah, I can't explain it. Like, I know people who can explain it much better than I could, but and that obviously watch the tape, but like, I just don't understand how it's not working. And then like, then Baker, like one play, Odell's open. He doesn't see him. And then the next play, he'll like try to force it to him. And then the play just gets blown up, whether it's a sack or just tries to throw it to someone else that's being covered. Like, I don't get the issue there. And I hope they don't have to decide. Like, if they have to decide between Odell and Baker, then I just think that's going to be a disaster. And I think both of them want to make it work. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I talk about this at work with people and like, I just don't know how to explain it because I don't understand how it's not working. Because I think Baker's talented. Odell's obviously talented. He speaks for himself with what he's done throughout his career. It's like, why can't they just mesh? It's kind of like, I don't know if it's like LeBron and Kyrie because it did mesh, obviously. But there was also those instances where it didn't look like it was going to mesh.
It was like the no assist game of like Kyrie's, like, I think it was LeBron and Kyrie's like first year. Where it's like a big thing where Kyrie went for like 28, but no assist. And he's like the point guard or something.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
But here's the thing. He was targeted 3 times and he should have had 3 catches and potentially a touchdown.
Yeah. That's the thing at the end of the day.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. 4th and 2, you have a drag route right in front of you. You know, you're a little late on it. You know, because he was looking for a Hunt like out of the backfield, but he went to his second read. Odell's right there wide open. And he just drops the ball.
Oh, yeah.
It was because, I mean, you could say that was a turning point, right? It's 4th and 2 at like the, 11-yard line or whatever. You score on that.
Was it the second quarter, first quarter? I don't remember.
No, it was the first quarter.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was like the first quarter. Or second quarter. I mean, it was like the second drive, second. Yeah, I think it was the second drive of the game because they went and they got the field goal or whatever. So
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. But I'm glad you brought up Anthony Schwartz real quick before we get to who I thought was probably the best offensive player of the day outside of Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb, obviously. Anthony Schwartz. I swear this is like the third or fourth instance where they target him on a play. He's going deep and he lets up. And it's like, dude, you have Olympic speed. Baker's getting you the ball. Just run. Just use that freaking speed. Utilize your strongest asset and just run and look, go get the ball. Like, he's done it a couple times. One was an interception. One was a drop. I think it was a drop or just a miss or under. He barely missed the ball. And then today, like, he let up and the ball was there and he could have went in for a touchdown. And the dude just lets up. Like, I don't know if he's not getting, like, I'm hoping Chad O'Shea, the wide receiver coach, is chewing him out on these things. But it's like, he had a breakout first game and then he just keeps taking steps back. And it's like, hopefully these things, A, he's recognizing it and trying to correct it, but B, hopefully it's humbling him, because, you know, you're not just getting into the league based on your speed. You're getting it on your whole assets and of talent, and you just need to put it all together. And I'm sure he will. He's still a rookie. Like, rookies are going to make mistakes, but just stuff like that. Like, don't let up on plays like that. Like, utilize all your attributes and you would have like three or four touchdowns at this point this season. But I don't know. It's stuff like little stuff like that just really irks me. But at the same time, I understand he's a rookie and he could be so much better than that.
Yeah, I think that's just one of those things where, you know, you see, you know, the inexperience, not just as, you know, an NFL player, but just as an actual wide receiver, because the way Auburn used him was a lot of like just to get him the ball in space. And
yeah, just little gadget plays, like,
yeah. And now what sucks is like that play, it's right there. Just keep running.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. And, you know, it's a big game. And, you know, ultimately, I can't remember if they scored or not on that play, but I mean, it's, you know, it's those little momentum plays that could change the entire outcome of, you know, like, you know, that game. Or, but it's just like, come on, man. Like, you're a receiver. Why are you giving up? That's what, basically twice now he's given up on routes.
It's like three or four.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It sucks. It sucks because we went into this year with like, hey, we get Odell back. We get Anthony Schwartz, who's just, you know, we get our speed demons after going all of, you know, or half of the year last year with nobody who could take the top off of defense. Now we have both those guys and like we don't use them,
right?
Like that it's just annoying.
Yeah, that was 3rd and 20, because that's where, that was the drive where Treader got the holding call.
Oh,
couldn't have been a holding call.
Yeah,
he gets that play.
That's fourth quarter then.
Early fourth quarter. This was before the pass interference call on Williams, or on us by Mike Williams. But he catches that, and it's a big play. A, extends the drive. B, we could take a 2-touchdown lead at that point. Like, that's another game-altering play. Like, if Schwartz doesn't let up and catches that ball and either takes it to a touchdown or extends the drive, like, who knows what happens at that point. So it's just another one of those what-if moments from this game.
I'm just so fucking aggravated still. I mean, the game was over an hour ago, and I'm still, like, heated. Like, it's – I mean, it's been nice, like, talking through stuff with you.
Yes. And
I feel a little bit better.
Yes.
But then, you know, you bring up something like that, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, come on, man.
Yep.
Like ultimately, does this – you know, adjust the path of like the Browns and how good they're going to be? No. But it's just annoying in the moment. And it's just like one of those games where it's like, you want to win those games, man. That's two games now. You're up multiple possessions and you've given it away. Week one, you're up multiple possessions against Kansas City. And then at halftime, like you're up 14.
Yeah.
And just so annoying.
Two games against two really good teams.
Like, it was so big getting that Austin Eckler fumble, because you were able to get points right before the end of the half. You were able to get that field goal.
Yep.
And then you just, I don't know.
And then they scored on the opening drive coming out of half. because that was the Nick Chubb touchdown run. Yeah, I mean, it's, and this is the other, this is a narrative that's going to continue to build. Okay, and this goes back to last season. The Browns aren't beating good teams. They have beat good teams, but they blew. They had a chance to beat Kansas City in the divisional round, didn't. Well, granted, they were down 19-3. They lost week one to Kansas City again. Yep. They beat three bad teams in Houston, Minnesota, Chicago, although I don't really count Minnesota as a bad team. And then this week, they lost to a good team again. It's like they can't beat good teams. That narrative is going to continue to grow that, you know, A, the Browns can't beat good teams. B, Baker Mayfield can't beat good teams. And that's always going to be like, well, can we really call the Browns a good team? This is what the media narrative is going to become. Can we call the Browns a good team when they can't beat good teams? Like, that's something that they need to get the monkey off their back. Next week against Arizona would be a good thing. Good statement win for the Browns. They could come back home and beat the Cardinals, who are, I think, 4-1 at this point. So, I mean,
Did they lose against San Francisco?
Or
did
they win? I believe
then, that they means did. They're 5-0 if they won.
Oh, they did win. So they are 5-0. Well,
they're 5-0.
This would be the ultimate proving point. Next week against Arizona, undefeated team, hottest team in the league right now. You get the monkey off your back that you can beat a good team, and that would prove a lot. And I'm sure Baker will want to do it because, A, it's against Kyler Murray, the guy that took his spot at Oklahoma, B, against Cliff Kingsbury, which we all know that story well, and they're undefeated. And if they could beat a good team, that would really take the monkey off the Browns' back and prove that they are one of the top teams in the league.
It's 100%. I mean, you need one of these games either against the Chargers or against Arizona. Going into this year, I thought, hey, I felt like Arizona was like the 2019 Browns, where they have all this talent, and it's like, can they get it all together? Can they mesh? And so far, so good. You know, they're 5-0. Maybe they should be 4-1. Maybe they should be 3-2. You know, with the Greg Joseph missed field goal, who knows, right? Maybe if Trey Lance doesn't play this game today against the you know, when they go up against the 49ers, maybe they lose that game. Who knows, right? But it's just like the fact of, like, you need this game. You need this game now more than ever, because this is just like, you could chalk up like, oh, this is a second game of, you know, back-to-back weeks, you're traveling across the country, all that stuff. Now it's like, hey, they're coming to you. Yes, it's a 4 o'clock game, so, or 4:30 game or whatever, so it's, you know, it'll be like their time, quote unquote, but they're still traveling from Arizona to Cleveland. Again, we don't know what the weather is going to be like. It changes on the daily here.
Yes.
So maybe it's going to be cold and rainy and Kyler can't do his thing. But at the same time, like, they're also 5-0. So if you're a good team, like you said, win those games.
Amen. Let's end the podcast on a positive note. David freaking Njoku.
Yeah,
had his finally breakout performance. He had a strong first quarter. You know, Baker was targeting him often. I think he had like 3 catches and like 60 yards in the first quarter, but the big touchdown late in the fourth quarter, Baker finds him in the middle of the field. And then Njoku, who's not really known for his speed, was able to run away from the defenders for a 71-yard touchdown. And, you know, we've been talking since they drafted him in 2017 that he, you know, had the physical tools to be a great tight end, and sometimes the tight end position just takes a while to develop. And, you know, he had a great game week one against Kansas City and then disappeared, but he reemerged today and had a monster performance. Obviously was the Browns leading receiver, but, you know, you just hope, because I feel like the perception around the Browns fan base is everybody wants him to be the number one tight end, not just this season, but going into the future, you know, and they obviously would move on from Austin Hooper in that aspect. But, you know, hopefully this is the sign for Njoku where, you know, he's finally realizing his talent. The Browns are finally utilizing his talent and where it all will come together. And he's finally going to be the Browns number one tight end that they hoped he would be 4 years ago when they drafted him.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to see. I thought he was going to get caught right at the end because he started slowing up a little bit. And I was like, just hold on to the ball. Like,
right.
Don't get it, have it popped out right at the end. Or against, what was it, Cincinnati in 2018, where he got caught at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
When they iced the game. So I was like, all right, like, just hold on to the ball if you get caught. It's nice to see, right? It's nice to see, you know, another another draft pick like finally develop into something. And I guess this is the issue with the Browns offense, or not really an issue. I guess issue if like you're a fantasy player, right?
Right.
I needed a tight end. I thought about picking up Njoku, but I was like, they have three guys. They have three guys who can easily get the ball from the tight end position. Like, and today just so happened to be Njoku's day. And I think, you know, going forward, I would love for him to be our number one guy. And, you know, maybe you could move on from Austin Hooper. You know, the amount of two tight end sets they run anyway, it's fine if you pay both those guys. But it's just like, yes, I agree. It was nice to see David Njoku finally like break out and have a like a stellar game. Again, oh man. See, this is why I'm angry, right? We should be talking about a win right now. We should be so excited that Baker threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns, and that like he redeemed himself from last week and proved the haters wrong, and last week was just an anomaly. And we should talk about how, you know, even though, you know, the Browns were down their left tackle and they lost their right tackle in the middle of the game, you know, they were still able to run the ball and
put up over 500 yards and 40 points.
500 yards, yeah. You know, even though Odell only had two catches, like, you know, Baker wasn't forcing him the ball. Like, the one non-catch from his target was on Odell. You know, we should be talking about David Njoku having, what, seven catches and 150 yards or whatever it was, 130 yards. Like, we should be talking about that. But instead, we're sitting here angry and upset over
play calling, officials, and defensive play.
Yep. Yeah. It feels like a game from last year, honestly. This is, you know what this is? This is the game from last year. This was our worst nightmare, right? This was all last year. We were able to score all these points, which is why, like, after my reaction to last week's game was, you know what? Baker played bad. It sucks, but you still won. Like, the amount of games the offense won last year for you, and the defense didn't do shit, they owed you from all of last year. And obviously there's only a handful of guys that are still on the roster from last year, but that's, I'm more talking about like the coaching staff. Like they went out and won that game for you last week. This game, you do everything right, but it still wasn't enough. And that's what irks me. And that's what honestly like makes me angry. And it makes me truly question Joe Woods just going forward. Like, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. Like, I'm sorry.
Like, no, that's fair.
Against Chicago, like, it was a rookie quarterback, and Nagy was just awful that game. Off rip.
Yep.
Right? Like, they didn't do anything to put Justin Fields in a position to win those games. And now look at them. They've won two straight games. It's like, oh, maybe once you, like, use Justin Fields in ways that are, you know, conducive of him, like, playing, you know, like playing to his strengths and stuff like that, you could win with him. So maybe that game's a better game to win because they're 3-2 right now. I don't know.
Right.
But then last week, you know, you went and like I said, you shut down a top five offense, you know, running the ball and passing ball. And yes, Dalvin Cook was banged up, but you know, Alexander Madison is a stud and is like a Dalvin Cook 2.0 anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, man, this game, man, I'm just
no, it's frustrating because like we talked about some positive stuff and it was just like
everything should be positive against today. Like,
yeah,
even with the defense, you just go, you know, it was a shootout, fucking way she goes, right?
But there is even positives on the defensive end. Like, you know, Denzel Ward goes down. I thought AJ Green played a decent game. Solid. Greedy played another solid game. Like, hopefully the injury isn't serious. Like, I mean, there was positives to take away. Like, we didn't even talk about Malik McDowell. And like, there was stuff to talk about, but at the end of the day, the defense gave up.
It just gets overshadowed by giving up 47 points.
34 points in the second half. Like, it was just bad.
That's insane. Yeah. That's so bad. In a game that you were winning.
Right.
By two touchdowns. How do you let that happen? I don't understand.
I can't wait for Jake Burns to break down, like, what happened.
Oh, it's going to be something.
Yeah, it's just, it was a good therapeutic session, though, because we aired out, like, what was wrong and just, like, what was – oh, man. I hope next week's better because it's my first Browns game I'm going to, and I don't want to be disappointed.
Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah. The anxiety of that.
Oh yeah. It's going to be fun though. I'm going to have a good time.
Oh so. Yeah.
But okay. This was a fun time as well. I always appreciate when you hop on the pod. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Of course.
And you're always welcome on the pod whenever you want. We appreciate it. Go ahead and plug Crunch Time with Caitlin, because I'm sure you got something coming out about this game as well.
Yeah, like literally right where we end this call, I'm just gonna like
go rant again for a little while.
Yeah. It might not be like the top level that I thought it was gonna be, but like because you've kind of cooled me down and you know it was very therapeutic. But trust me, all I gotta do is look at the stats again and get completely angry again. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Caitlin OCLE. That's Caitlin KATLAN Nose Can OWSCLE. You know, two podcasts, Crunch Time with Caitlin and Lead Off Talk. You know, scheduling differences with the baseball podcast has been kind of tough. But you know, with playoff baseball, if you're interested in baseball and baseball talk and off season talk, you know, check that out. But yeah, more Brown stuff and NFL stuff. Crunch Time with Caitlin is where you can find me, and it's all linked in my Twitter. So
for sure. And just one more final note before we get on out. Greedy Williams, Denzel Ward, Jack Conklin, and MJ Stewart will all undergo MRI. So keep fingers crossed as we will find out. I'm sure all
Are
that stuff on Monday.
Are we signing Robert Jackson again?
Ugh.
No.
Please, God, no. But stay on the lookout later this week for another episode. We might do a couple depending on how these injury news might go. But we will be back later this week to preview the Cardinals. Have a guest lined up. So stay tuned for that later on in the week. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JackMcCurry08 and check out The Dogland on Facebook and Twitter. Just search The Dogland. You'll find it there. Give us a like, a follow, whatever. If you listen to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, share, subscribe. We appreciate you all for listening as always. And until next time, win or loss, we will be back. And as always, go Browns.
Dr. Rick here. Another sign you're becoming your parents is getting particular about details that don't matter.
The craziest thing happened when we got tacos the other day. Was it Wednesday or Thursday we got tacos? I know it wasn't Tuesday because that's when I went to my hairdresser. Shoot, what day was it?
See how we all lost interest there?
Progressive can't help you from becoming your parents, but we can help you compare rates on home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.